are the 2019 NBA champions.
Repping everywhere I go. Everybody from the cold. This is where we call it home. To the T dot, the six, with Lowry in the mix, where Kawhi's shooting from the corner, posing for the pics. This the city where we all speak patois, proper English. Raptors is my squad, that's why I sing.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Terp, the Untitled Raptors Podcast, episode 28. What's happening, Akshay? We've got a great, we had a great week just ago. A lot of updates here. Let's get to it. What's the biggest update on your mind right now?
How's your internet doing? That is the number one update for me.
You know what? I am going to Pakistan very soon, and I'm going abroad, so I'm getting used to slower and dropping internet speeds. So I think my apartment's taking kind to that as well. So I was the worst thing is I had League Pass on, and the Indiana Pacers OKC game was there, and it was like probably like 10, 15 seconds left to go. And the stupid thing cut. This is the worst thing. If this thing happened in the NBA Finals, I think I would have gone like, I would have broken a window, 100%.
We were 5 minutes and like 30 seconds into recording the episode, and then it just dropped. And I was just talking to myself, and then your name just disappeared.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But we'll be quick.
He's back. All right.
So I am back. I'm ready to go.
We will retape the episode, at least the first 5 minutes. So we were talking. We're giving everybody an update on the window story from a couple weeks ago where Kevin, our buddy Kevin, decided to go to a restaurant for a free dinner where the stipulation was that you had to listen to a presentation about windows. And he decided to go and talk to nobody there because everybody was super old. And so that was the update from 2 weeks ago. And we thought it was done. You know, he went, he listened to a couple hour presentation about Windows. But no, there was more. Part of this free dinner was that they had to come to your house and give you an in-home estimate. So Tal, you want to give the update on the in-home estimate?
Exactly. You know, you get in-home estimate coming, someone coming to your house, give a probably like a, normally you would think like a 15-minute presentation, you walk away, you're like, okay, you know what, I'm done with. Not in Kevin's case. Monica messages us, Kevin's wife, and she's like, guys, they just left. This was a 2.5 hour presentation. That, okay, you got a 2.5 hour presentation about Windows. I've got multiple questions. One, I don't know, how does anyone have that much knowledge to talk about for 2.5 hours? Second, why would you sit through this entire thing? Like 2.5 hours? That's like a whole game. This like you're listening to someone talk about Windows, and it's not even like, it's like $60,000. And by the end of it, they're like, Kevin was like, you know what? It's not that bad of an investment. $60,000 for new Windows? Oh my God. Clearly, we're doing something wrong with our lives, because 2.5 hours, I would rather watch the Golden State Warriors play.
The Santa Cruz Warriors, pretty much, right?
I would rather watch them and Golden State Warriors versus New York Knicks. That's the equivalent of listening to Windows, I would say.
I would rather watch the New York Knicks versus the New York Knicks.
Like, that would probably be the worst thing. In NBA 2K, you play both of them together, just change the jerseys and let the computer run the damn simulation.
Man, there's so many jerseys nowadays. You could play 5 different teams and they could all be the same team.
That's ridiculous.
There's so many jerseys. I'm like, man, the Orlando jerseys, we'll talk about it when we get to the Orlando segment, but not a fan. Okay, speaking of the Knicks, let's go through the week's games. So we had 4 games since we last taped.
Yeah.
Even though it feels like ages ago, the Raptors beat the Knicks, I don't know, 1 billion to 10. I can't remember that score. What did you think about the Knicks game?
Here's my analysis. LOL. It's the Knicks. Yeah. Knick jokes. Top 3 reasons why the Knicks are trash. Number 1, ownership. Number 2,
James Dolan.
Number 2, ownership. And number 3, surprise, surprise, it's ownership.
It's James Dolan.
But it's one of the most highest valued franchises in the world, right? It's up there with, I think, all the other, the soccer ones and the football ones. The only thing that's like, I probably want to watch the Knicks is RJ Barrett. And I feel like the poor guy's career is going to get absolutely destroyed. Actually, you know what? What the highlight of that game was him having his podium and announcing, I will play for Team Canada. And you're like, you best be because your dad's the damn general manager.
Yeah. I know. You. If you don't play, man, we got real problems. Your dad is the GM. There's nothing really to analyze other than they're very bad. They don't play well. They don't play hard. There's nothing on that team that's exciting except RJ. And he's only exciting because he's a high pick. If he doesn't develop well, and in that environment, he could not develop well, it could be like another Wiggins story. Then he's going to go really from trying to like being exciting to not being very exciting. Because there's a couple of things on his game that he really has to improve to be effective. It's more importantly, he needs to really be able to shoot the three well. He can't do that right now. But he's 19, so that's fine. But I just sometimes I worry. You get these like these franchises that don't have good development systems, and then they get all these high picks, and then they're just all busts. The reason they're all busts is because they can't develop these guys, and these guys probably lose confidence. And now you're putting the weight of this $4 billion franchise on this 19-year-old kid's shoulders. And everybody around him is not good. Like, they're just not good. And then you put these veterans around him who are just trying to get theirs.
But it's not even good veterans. Like, you're putting, like these aren't, like, team-first veterans. You got to understand. They're very different. These guys are trying to make
Marcus
their contract.
Morris, I mean, Marcus Morris is a one-year deal. You give somebody a one-year deal, they're going to be playing for themselves, right?
100%. And you get one-year deals for these guys. They've got Marcus Morris. They got Julius Randle, who I think... Oh my God, Julius Randle is the worst player, I think. He's definitely got exposed. Like, I think playing in New Orleans Pelicans system was a lot different. And playing in the Knicks system, you realize you're like, holy crap, this guy sucks.
He's like empty calories on those. Absolutely. Just nothing productive, just gets you some points.
Yeah, really bad. Anyways, Knicks destroyed him. Not a big concern. Easy game, right? Friday at Orlando, what happened, Akshay?
I like the fact that they kind of won in a different way. I mean, sometimes you're getting into these little slugfests and they're super ugly and nobody can hit anything, and the defensive matchups are pretty good. And the reality of it is, like, these teams know each other so well, and you're going to eventually see one of these games where everybody's going to be locked in and just playing super hard defense. And Orlando is prideful. They're not going to just roll over and try to get beat for the seventh time in a row. Like, they got beat four times in a row last year in the playoffs, and then three times to start. Well, two times, and then this game again, so three times. So it was nice to see them win ugly. Norm obviously had a great game, 33 points, but obviously their game plan was to take out Siakam and Van Vliet, and so if that's the game plan, then somebody has to step up, and it's nice to see that Norm was a really good... really good third option in that. Well, he was the first option that game, but I mean third option overall. It was really good to see the Raps win in a different way.
Storm and Norman, 33 points, 0 rebounds, and 1 assist. Yeah, a stat line, I tell you.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. At the end of the day, like, as long as he can do that, not 33, but if he can just give you consistent points, he's a bargain.
I think he moves really well off ball. Like, he is a very smart player. I think the last few games, it's just his off ball movement. He's getting open shots. Gasol is doing, him and Gasol have a really good chemistry where Gasol is sending some really good screens for him, like off ball, right? Gasol does a lot of, this is all Gasol, I think. Setting some really good screens for Norman and communicating and getting Norman open.
But I'm looking at his game logs, right? Just really quickly. And so he has like 23, 15, 33, 7, 10, 20, 15, 17, 26, and then 2. Like, you have to really go back a long way when we faced Portland for him to have one of those really annoying Norm Powell games where he completely disappears. But even before that, 15, 14, 18. And I know a lot of it, he was starting, so that helps, and because you're getting consistent minutes. But Norm, like, low-key, or maybe not even low-key, like high-key, has been very good this year.
You just need him to come up in 10, 12 points and hit a couple of three-pointers. And the three-pointers are always corner threes. Just come in, because he's got a good shot. Like, he really does have a good-looking shot as well. Great, good-looking shot, right? So good mechanics and everything on that. And I think his driving to the hoop has been a lot better. He controls the ball. Like, he's not going crazy. I think the second year, it was awful because he would just drive every time.
Yeah. Yeah. And his driving is so good, but the problem is his finishing wasn't good and his decision making was poor. So he's become much better at his decision making. And now he's driving with a little bit more of a purpose. And so I just hope he can, because that's actually huge. Like, you need one of those guys off the bench who can kind of, you know, go off once every five games and consistently give you like 10 points, but once every five games will give you like 25. Because the defense is like trying to take out everybody else so much more. And so really good. Norm won that game for us. No, outside of the defense, he won that game on the offensive end. Sunday versus Utah, I went to that game. I mean, it was a weird, weird game in terms of they were up 40 at half and everything was going in. And then it was interesting to, one of the things I really liked generally I like about Freddie's post games. Whenever he talks, I think he's like the most real on the Raptors in terms of just being honest. And so he's just like, well, you know, like you have a 40-point lead and human nature kicks in and like you don't play as hard and they come out and they just play like crazy hard because they got nothing to lose at this point. And they, like, even if you take a bad shot or if you take a risky shot, it's okay because you're down 40. Like it's fine. You got to just try to get hot. And then he even said like, you know, the refs are human, we're human, everybody else is human. And so like, they're going to cut into this 40-point lead. Now they shouldn't have cut in that much. They played a really poor third quarter and it was weirdly enough, like everybody was like jumping and cheering in the stadium for the first half. And then it was a very, very tense third quarter because they were making this comeback and they're not going to come back by 40, but the fact they kept making it, it felt like a very tense third quarter. And then the fourth quarter, everybody loosened up and there was a couple of plays that Freddie made and kind of iced the game. So very stressful 20-point win if you were sitting in the stadium.
Absolutely. It was stressful the third quarter, but what I liked in the game, if you see, my biggest concern is like Pascal normally struggles with guys with interior defense, right? So you're looking at Jonathan Isaac gives him a lot of problem, tall guys essentially with long arms. And I thought Rudy Gobert would have been a solid protector. But what Rudy Gobert did was like Mark Gasol. So they basically, the first few plays, they gave the ball to Mark and Mark at the 3-point line. Rudy wasn't coming out to guard Mark. Mark hit a couple of threes. As soon as that happens, Gobert's forced to come out a little bit more. And when that happens, Mark's got all the wings open and he's making that pass and then Siakam or anyone else going to the line, right? Because you're getting Gobert, a 7-foot shot blocker, one of the top premier defensive players, to leave his dunker spot area in that area in the paint and go a little bit near the line. He wasn't coming all the way to guard Gasol, but he was guarding him to the point where it's like, hey, you got enough time to make that quick pass and get like a layup or even like a mismatch on offense, right? So I think it was a smart play by Nurse to get Gasol involved early. And I think this 40-point lead doesn't happen if Gasol doesn't hit those first two threes.
Oh, yeah. Because he 11 points, right? Right off the kick?
Yeah. You don't get those two threes were important because it screwed up all of Utah's defensive plans. Like their plan, I felt was probably going to be like, okay, you know what? If Mark Gasol can beat us, he won't hit us. He'll miss a few, but we can't let Siakam or anyone beat us. And in the end, it was the whole team that started making these ridiculous shots because they were like, you know what? We're not going to guard Mark Gasol all the way to the 3-point line, and Mark's going to make him pay. So good for Mark.
Yeah. So I read something funny about Mark Gasol. I don't know where I read it. It was Twitter or like Reddit or something. And somebody wrote that Mark Gasol is like the world's biggest 3-and-D player now. I was like, that's true. It's true. Cause like he sucks inside the arc and he's a great defensive player. And so we usually think of 3-and-D players like your prototypical Danny Green, but Marc Gasol pretty much is a guy who's playing defense and hits threes. Like anything in the paint or anything in below the 3-point arc, he's kind of useless at this stage of his career. So he's now like the world's largest 3-and-D player.
That's the way to go. Marc Gasol, one of the most effective, one of my favorite players to watch.
Yeah, he's so much fun to watch. I mean,
he does a lot of things off the ball. So when you watch the game and the ball's not going through Marc Gasol, just look at Marc Gasol in every play. And it's honestly phenomenal. Just watch Marc Gasol in every play. He is making back end cuts or like screens for Siakam, for Norman Powell, for Freddie V, and they are brilliant screens. They're so subtle, and he's making like he is fun to watch just even without off ball, because he like you watch the game in slow motion and you realize, oh, Mark's already thinking like three steps ahead.
Yeah,
right?
he's super fun. I mean, we don't have to get into next year, but I don't think they're going to keep him next year because I think somebody will give him money and they just can't. They'll probably keep Serge, is my guess. But like he's one of those guys whose games are he can probably play for another 3-4 years and be okay and effective off a bench. But he's definitely one of those guys that you'll miss watching because his skill set is so unique in the NBA. Like it's very difficult to replicate that skill set. Like his skill set is, if you think about centers who have a very similar skill set.
I think Jokic may be close to it.
Jokic is
on the offensive end. On the offensive end. Jokic on the offensive end is different right now. On the defensive end, I don't see anyone else with like that type of skill set.
That's true because Jokic defensively is not good at all.
On the offensive end, yes. But on the defensive end, I think like you have anyone with Gasol's type of like vision and everything like that. I don't know any other.
That's true. I can't think of anybody who's got his similar skill set and who plays the center. Okay, speaking of defense, Tuesday versus Jimmy Buckets.
Oh, God.
We lost. I don't know how to process losses anymore. We had
It was tough.
We used to be desensitized to losses, and now we lose, and we're like, what?
Yeah, you sent me a message this morning, are you okay? And I was like, you know what, I don't think I am. I think it was a difficult loss. I almost cried myself to sleep. That was tough.
What did you think about
First of all, I think Larry kind of rushed himself to this one. Like, I don't know, but like 2-for-18 is a bit ridiculous. But that being said, he did everything Kyle Lowry does this, like 2-for-18, but he
almost brought his back into the game.
Back to the game, starts like getting his own rebounds. And, you know, it's funny because he's this 5'9", like point guard going into the paint, 5'11" point guard going to the paint against these 6-foot monster guys. And he gets his own rebound and puts it back in. It's amazing how he does this.
Took a charge on a pass yesterday.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Near the end.
Right?
That was so crazy.
Lowry's disappointing. Overall, the rap shot 25% from three, man. Like, you're not going to win if you shoot 25% and you take majority of this thing. The most interesting part of this was that the Heat really limited transition, right? Yeah. So you limit transition, you're not getting those buckets at the rim a lot. The rap shot 59% from the rim, Heat shot 70. That's a big differential right there. Limited transition, more half court. This was grinded out offense. And yeah, it's just a regular season game, but this kind of gave me a little bit of a concern because playoffs and like, you know, when you're playing teams who know your defense, transition is like, we all know transition dies in the playoffs. It's very, very little. It's like defenses are set. They know where they're going. And this time Siakam couldn't do that, right? Like they didn't have the right plays. He wasn't as aggressive. I think Miami is a very, very good defensive team. Very good defensive team. And they lost to Boston today. But this is
on
a back to back. Yeah. But I think watching Miami is going to be fun. I think they're very, very strong. And who's this Johnson guy who kept hitting these three balls? They got like these two guys, Tyler
Robinson
and Tyler Hero start hitting these threes. I'm like, who are these guys?
Yeah. But so there was a clear game plan to let the other guys beat, because this is, if you're going to do so my note for this game is they're good. But their gap between their number one guy, who Jimmy Butler's not a number one guy on a championship team, but anyways, let's just pretend he is, and their next best player, who I don't even know who it is. Like if I told you to tell me who Miami's second best player is, like I don't
Bam
even
Bam.
Know. Who you, yeah, like okay, that, but it, the gap between Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo is like huge.
Akshay, please use the right name. It's Bam Bam.
Bam Bam. Sorry. Bam Bam is huge, right? And so in the playoffs, if you have that big of a gap, then you're gonna like suffer. I mean, even if you argued yesterday that
they also have James Johnson on that bench.
Oh my god. James Johnson looked like he
Yeah. They kept showing all the time during the TV. I was like, why is James Johnson leading the bench crowd?
Did he lose weight? He looked much skinnier to me.
James Johnson lost weight. James Johnson wants to crack that, crack that joint and bang.
Cock it back and bang on him. Yeah, that's the famous James Johnson line from a few years ago.
James Johnson is like the guy if I see on the street, like if all the NBA players, like I feel like James Johnson would like, I'd be like, okay, James Johnson, you legit, man. I'd be terrified of you.
Or in reverse, you want him on your team.
Yeah, like there's no way I want to get into a fight. I am not getting into a fight with James Johnson. James Johnson will whoop everyone's ass.
Right? He's got a black belt and everything too. So we've given a lot of love to James Johnson on this podcast for no reason.
We've talked about him a lot. I'm gonna have a hater. I'm gonna call out that stupid commercial.
Oh yeah, Charmin.
Charmin commercial. Oh my God! During gameplay,
two fast breaks, both sides,
and you get this massive Charmin commercial pop up. Like we're watching the game, and then I want to think about like toilet paper. Not even like, actually, I don't even know if this is 4-ply. This is like regular 2-ply toilet paper. Nah, I don't want to hear that stuff, man. Like, it was ridiculous. And you know what? Who comes up with this idea? They're like, you know what? We know how we're gonna make money. NBA is going down ratings. We got to make money. We're going to sell toilet paper in the middle of a fast break. You got to be kidding me.
That was the thing, right? So I don't like it even during the free throws. Like, you know, they started doing that where they put it between free throws. So
avoid
like
the game, guys. In the game, nothing.
I know, but the problem is nobody's watching commercials anymore, right? Like we walk away. We don't like actually pay attention to it. Or like we're on our phones, like nobody. So they're trying to sneak in places where they can do it. And I'm okay. Like so, the free throws. Like I don't like it, whatever. But it's fine. I can deal with it. In baseball, they do it between pitches sometimes. It's annoying, but whatever. I can deal with it. Doing it on a fast break, I literally couldn't see the fast break.
It was like
they shrunk it so much, I couldn't see it. I was like, what are you doing? Like, I literally cannot see. I just saw people running down the court and a foul.
Here's the thing. Charmin, you suck. All right? I can't. You know, what are the odds that Charmin replaces Sun Life as the sponsor for the Toronto Raptors? Soft, but durable. The Toronto Raptors, 2005.
I mean, we've shit on them enough, so they're not going to sponsor our podcast ever. So,
Charmin, contact us. We'd love to just send us like a whole roll of 3-ply toilet papers. I'm ready to go. All right, a piece of
that's
garbage.
It. That's all we need to get. Anyways, we did not like the in-game ads. Come on, Sportsnet, TSN, whoever was dealing with that yesterday. I get that you're trying to get us to watch commercials because it's hard to get people to watch commercials these days. But come on, not during fast breaks. Anyways, I agree with you. I agree with your haterade there. Let's move on to the quarter year review. So we're at the quarter year point for the Raptors. They played 20 games. The quarter they play 82 in a season, so it's about a quarter. You know what's funny? These 20 games have flown by pretty quickly, even though they've been pretty eventful in terms of injuries and West Coast trips and all that stuff. It's like flown by, in my opinion, it has. I don't know how you feel about it, but like a similar amount of games was played in the playoffs, and that felt like such a grind. And this is just like flown by.
Oh, that was like more everything and analyzed to a ninth degree, and you're like looking at it. And the greatest thing about that is that you're planning where to watch the game. In the playoffs, you're like, okay, you think we got reservations here? No, here. What do you think we're gonna? We're gonna watch it at home? No, we can't watch it at home. We gotta watch it somewhere.
Shout out to Assembly Chef Hall and their $37 pitchers that were like mini pitchers. Oh God, that you can do 3 pints with, and they charge you $37 for a pitcher.
Capitalism, baby, capitalism.
The things we did to just watch the Raptors not at home. And okay, so the quarter. Let me get through the quarter review.
Do it,
Talib. They are 15-5. Okay, they're third in point differential behind Dallas and the Bucks. God, I can't believe Dallas is there. But anyways, I don't think they're going to be there for all the season. They're eighth in offense, fourth in defense. The breakdown of the offense: they're first in transition offense, which we can see with our eyes, and then they're 11th in half court offense. In my opinion, the team moves the ball better this year than they did last year, and that's partly because you had one of the best ISO scorers in the game, so you're going to obviously play to that strength. We don't have that this year, so you're going to move the ball a little bit better. But the one thing that's really shocking to me, and it's probably just like, Nick Nurse has guys who have already, know the schemes and everything. B, he just has a ton of confidence now after winning the championship and the fact that all his craziness worked last year. They are just a crazy aggressive defensive team. Not aggressive in just like how they play, but just aggressive in their scheming. Just like the fact that they will switch defenses, box and ones and 2-3 zones in the middle of the game. I'm surprised that they didn't run more box and one and stuff like that yesterday's game with Jimmy Butler. But they're so much more aggressive this year than I ever anticipated. And they've totally blown out my expectations for what they could have been in the first 20 games. They're way, way better. Pascal and Fred have taken decent sized leaps, if not monster leaps already. So what do you think so far this year of a quarter year review?
Absolutely agreed. I think that's like, I think that the assists, if you look per game, are like higher as well, right? So we're passing it off. The caveat to that is that we're not going to the line as much. Our free throw attempts are down year over year. That being said, Kawhi is a guy who gets into the paint, gets the line often, plays that type of grind a game, right? He's an ISO player. He's able to do that. But the team is more aggressive. And I think what we've seen this year is like we're seeing, like I've never seen like zones being used by the Raptors at such frequent intervals, right? Like we saw the 2-3 zone. We've seen the 1-3-1 box. It's all pretty cool. Like a lot of stuff's happening and a lot of unique defenses that you get thrown. And as a fan, it's really interesting to see how they throw these out against professional NBA players and professional players, because a lot of teams are designed, like a lot of players have played against these zones in colleges or in high school growing up. But at an NBA level, how do you break through a new defense that you're not used to, right? So that was super interesting to watch, and I really enjoy that. I think, I absolutely agree with the point. They're more aggressive defensively. They're just going full out. They had like a couple of turnovers yesterday towards the end of the game, just forcing Jimmy buckets to do some ridiculous plays, like really, really pressurizing and not fouling, right? So I think I'm with you on that one. I think they've they've been a lot better than I thought they were going to be. It's so far so good. So I'm excited to see where it goes. And you know what? I think the bench has been the biggest surprise. I remember before when Lowry and the first few games, Lowry and Ibaka were averaging like, 35 minutes? Like 35, 36 minutes a game. And we were like, this is not sustainable. And we were basically concerned there's no one on our bench who can score.
Yeah. So typically so Lowry and the bench units that date back all the way to like the middle of the DeMar years, like let's say even 2014, 15 years, the Lowry and the bench units have been really good. And I'm actually I think they're going to run some Lowry and bench units this year now that the bench is a little bit more solidified. And so I'm excited to see like Lowry play with Serge, Jefferson, Terrence Davis, and Powell. Like, I think that'll be actually a pretty good five-man unit to come in and like keep it going. I think they'll, or even Van Vliet with that bench will be good. But I think Lowry and the bench are going to be really fun to watch this year. Yeah. So I agree.
The Lowry and Serge connection, I think we saw it like 3-4 times yesterday's game. It's such a simple. If you see Lowry and Serge, Lowry calls for the pass on Serge. He moves. It's a drop. It's a pick and pop. Always. It's perfect. Like Lowry knows exactly where to put that pass. That Serge's shot, he makes it there. And if someone bites on it, I think yesterday, thing bit on it. The Canadian Kelly Olynyk bit on one of them, and he went to the foul line. Right? It's simple things like that that really help that offense go. And that's half court offense that we just need to do more of, I think.
So you said, I pulled down our preseason prediction. So you said 45 wins, fifth in the East, and Eastern Conference Finals is their ceiling. So do you want to change any of that?
No, I'm keeping it as is. I think it's like, I think we're going to hit, I think the reason I say that is I really think this Miami game is something. And it tells us, like, when defenses are able to narrow in and know exactly our weakness and strength, they've really realized that we're extremely efficient transition. You block out transition, you have players who can play straight up D, man-to-man D, and really worry about boxing out and all that stuff. It's going to be difficult. As the Raptors go in the second half, you'll see a lot of teams play a lot differently against the Raptors. They know they're coming.
So you think Eastern Conference Finals is still the ceiling, but you don't want to change your wins or seeding?
No. The playoffs is a hard game, man. We get excited. I think the ceiling is probably Eastern Conference. I don't know anyone. We haven't played the Bucks as much, or we haven't played the Celtics as much.
But 45 wins? You don't think they're going to get more than 45 wins?
I don't know, man. I'm skeptical of injuries, but who knows? I was skeptical when Lowry
I'm changing my predictions. I had 48 fourth seeding and the playoffs in the second round. I think their ceiling now is Eastern Conference Finals. And they're going to be over 50 plus this year. They're already 15. And then there's so many bad teams. If they get through December with a good record, their January and February is just a joke. It's like what the Bucks are going through right now. So I think they're going to be 50 plus for sure. And I think their seeding will be in the top three. I don't know where in the top three. And I think Eastern Conference Finals is their ceiling still. I agree with you on the ceiling, because that one thing where they're 11th in half-court offense right now is the piece that gives me... I think their defense today is playoff ready. I think it's playoff ready. They could be in a... Their offense right now is not playoff ready.
Offenses give me a little bit jitter in the half-court ways. In the half-court ways, yeah. it'll be interesting to see. And that's, I think, Siakam has to play a little bit more... You know, like, I think he has to get used to a bit of the ISO game a little bit.
Yeah, he has to become a little bit more of a dog, like, yeah, and like Kawhi was. And so, but he has got 60 games and this guy's made leaps. So it'll be interesting. We'll do a check at the 41 game mark or whatever and see how, you know, the temperature on the team. But
let's do it.
Okay, let's do this week's games. So Thursday versus Houston, Sunday versus 76ers, and Monday at Chicago. So let's start Thursday at Houston. Before you give me your prediction, one of the things that I'm really excited to see is, because the Raptors play so many crazy defenses, this is the team that you want to play crazy defenses against, because Harden is such an ISO player. So I'm excited to see what they do. With that being said, I think they're going to get a win tomorrow against Houston. What do you think?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Harden is such a weird player. Like, he goes, like, yesterday's game, and Houston played Dallas yesterday, for context. Houston played San Antonio. San Antonio, double overtime. Harden scored 50 points, but he shot one of the lowest percentages to hit 50 points. He shot 28% or 25%, which is absolutely ridiculous. He took a ridiculous amount of shots. He went to the free throw line a bunch of times. He's very boring to watch. I don't find him interesting at all. Like, it's the same thing. Like, you know, it's an ISO coming down. He's very good at it, but it's very boring. But so it'll be interesting to just lock him out. And I love it when he gets like locked out, because then he's forcing taking those shots. And Russell Westbrook, I don't think he's made a leap in his 3-point percentage at all.
Make leaps in that in your like 30s.
He's tough. Like, he hasn't improved at all, right? And if anything, he's going to slow down. His pace is going to slow down as he gets older. So you need to have a little bit of a shot or anything like that. So although I'd love to see that, I think this is going to be a shooting fest. And I think we may get...
If you like threes, you're going to see lots of them tomorrow.
I can see this game being like a 130, 120 type game.
Yeah. Like, it's like, whoever hits 40% from three is going to win this game. That's it.
I have a loss.
Then we have Sunday at the Sixers.
Oh, we're excited.
Joel Embiid will go for 2 points.
Oh, he's going to come out in vengeance. But the Raps are going to take care of business. Confident in this one. So Sunday at 76ers. The reason I say that is because I think the loss in Houston is going to kick him hard. And then they're like, okay, we don't want to lose three in a row. That's where it goes. 76ers. And I think we're all watching that together. So it'll be good.
Yeah, I think they're going to – this is the one I thought I picked for the week that they're going to – I think they're going to lose because they're on the road, and I think they're still kind of getting – I think the defense is going to give them trouble, and I also think after the last loss, Joel Embiid is going to come out pretty crazy and mad. But I don't know. We've said that in the past, and then he's also been like you know, sick and has stomach bug and has this and like every excuse in the book that I've heard about Joel Embiid. So who knows? But I picked this one as a loss. And then the last one, it's a back-to-back Monday at Chicago.
The Chicago Bulls. Bulls fans, stand up. Your team is trash. Oh my God. Your team is absolute trash.
This is the team that is disappointed the most. Like this was this year's, oh, low key they may be good and they may sneak into the eighth seed. You know, this the Eastern Conference version of it.
They straight up shit.
They're garbage.
A garbage. Yeah. This is gonna be a garbage watch. It's gonna be a win.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're gonna win this too. There's this year, I guess because everybody's playing the same style. I don't know if it's just me, but I just feel like the blowout, there's like a billion blowouts. Like all the good teams are just killing the bad teams. Like they're like, oh, you want to play the same up and down style and shoot threes and run in transition? You want to play that style? Cool. We're just way better at it than you are. So obviously we're going to beat you by like 15, 20 points.
It's ridiculous. The Milwaukee Bucks have just destroyed teams this year so far.
If you look at the Milwaukee scores, it's crazy because they're just facing these garbage teams. They're facing Cleveland and they're playing the same style as Cleveland because everybody plays the exact same style outside of maybe the Rockets today. And they just have better players. Like across the board, they just have better players. So they, I don't know. We'll see, but it just feels like there's a lot of blowouts this year.
Rough.
Yeah, so win. Okay, cool. We got 2-1 weeks, except you got a different win than I do. I also just pulled up Russell and Westbrook's stats just for curiosity's sake. Oh my God. What do you think he's shooting from three for this year?
I think it's like 21% or something.
23%
from three. Yeah, it was 23%.
On over 5 attempts a game.
Yeah, so I love it.
He's shooting 41% from the field and 47% from two. He's having a terrible year. Oh my God. I think nobody's making noise about it because everybody keeps talking about Harden on that team, but he's got 22 points and he's shooting 23% from three and 41% from the field.
There you go.
And
Russell Westbrook,
73%
MVP.
From
MVP.
Free throw.
MVP.
He's not even close to all-star worthy on those numbers.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to make it. He's not going to make an all-star team. No way.
Because he's not even doing it. He doesn't even have the sexy triple double anymore.
No,
he's 22-7-7, right? So
it's the end of Russell Westbrook. All right, we'll move on. The next Russell Westbrook will come. Ja Morant.
No, the next Russell Westbrook's already here. His name is Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic is like the god.
Except he's better. He's a much better shooter than Russell Westbrook.
I'll do a take on Luka Doncic in the next few weeks. I think he's phenomenal to watch.
All right, cool. We'll look forward to that. All right, we'll figure out when we're going to tape next week. I guess maybe Tuesday probably makes sense, but we'll figure it out.
It'll be after or before. It'll be before the Kawhi.
Maybe we'll do it after the Kawhi game just for fun.
Who knows? There's going to be a lot of emotions going to be running wild in that game.
It's next Wednesday. Kawhi, guys. Kawhi.
All right. Kawhi mean river tonight. All right, because I'm going to get nervous about Kawhi.
Can you please call your internet provider and thank them for not cutting for the last 37 minutes while we taped?
Thank you, Rogers and Charmin, the stupid freaking toilet paper. I will never forgive them for ruining that fast break for me. The Charmin toilet paper is the worst toilet paper in the world. There's nothing worse than that. All right.
Hopefully it was just a test run and it failed miserably like when they did the sponsorship of that song last year. In the San Antonio game. Do you remember that? And then it never came back.
Oh, yeah.
What was that song?
I don't know. It was some Big Baby or something. It's like the GoDaddy commercials. They realize that you can't pick a current player, so you pick an old guy.
Yeah, so we don't get mad at you for cursing them.
That's what it is, right? Next year, GoDaddy picks up Pascal Siakam. We're all praying to gods. And we're like,
No. He'll be banned. He's already doing Sun Life. Shaking his hand at that old dude in Sun Life, whatever, in the gym.
Oh, you gotta watch the peanut butter and the PB&J commercial with Fred Van Fleet and Pascal Siakam, or is they have like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and they talk about like the championship. It's a pajamponship or something like that.
It's a champwich.
Champwich.
He goes. It's a sandwich. No, it's a champwich. We should one day do our middle segment as the top 10 or like our countdown of our like top 10 or top 5 best or aka the worst Raptors commercials
100%
in history.
Yeah, it's a pizza.
We've had to.
I'll tell you right now, my favorite, Hito Turkoglu, pizza pizza. Yes, coach. No, coach.
That's really all. Over, I live in the paint. What is it? The paint is my canvas or something. I don't remember whatever he said.
We're going to find it. We're going to find it and we're going to do it. That's what we're going to do then. All right. We're going to do it.
Oh, Bargs. Okay. All right. We're good. We'll see you all next week.
God bless. Enjoy.